This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
So are you in your closet with just you and clothes and like a chair or desk or whatever?
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be too small of a space. I don't know. I run a podcast network, but I don't know this stuff.
1, 2, 3.
Sidebar is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution perfect for creative entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. All right, Robert. So last week, you and I discussed our obsession with greatness and how it gets in the way of being good. And I have to say that easily it has been the most well-received show. The Nielsen ratings have shown a skyrocket.
So wait a minute. Is that because I'm on the show, or you're saying because the show has taken another leap forward?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it has a combination of both you being on the show and just the naturalness of the show that folks responded to. And unfortunately for me, what that means is I've set precedence here to go unscripted. And as I discussed last week, the idea of writing a script and then trying to follow a script is often really difficult and time-consuming. So I'm actually okay with this process now.
Good, good. You should be. I think it was a great show, and this works really, really well for you. So,
okay, so last week we closed. I kind of cut us off right in the middle of the episode, sort of on purpose, sort of to draw a little mystery around it and to bring you back on the show as a guest again. So one of the things that you said towards the end of last week's episode really struck me, and I wanted to quote this back on the show today. We don't have control over whether something is great. Other people have that control. In other words, that's the job of our audience. Sonia from our company recently wrote a great piece on Copyblogger called The Cure for Imposter Syndrome, where she says your authority comes from your audience. I think it's interesting how so many parts of our company, so many people within our company, were kind of talking about the same things congruently. So it's really relevant to a lot of our audience. It's relevant to me as a podcaster, to you as the person in charge of the network, and just all of the content that's going around. So I love the synergy here. You also say that what we need to do is to show up, train ceaselessly, educate ourselves, and get better to do our job. I think that's great advice.
You're going to hold me to that? I guess you quoted me, so we have to. I do think that. I think the idea of, can you call yourself great or claim greatness yourself or whatever? You know, certainly you can, I think, if you're delusional. But this comes from, probably the literary world, this idea of, and probably well before that as well. Your job is to, in that context, write the book, right? You can't write an immortal work of fiction, for instance. It's only, in many cases, generations after the people reading that book and whatever critical, faculty is around in 100 years, who knows what it'll be. It used to be the New York Times Book Review, but it's those people that bestow, quote unquote, greatness on your work. Certainly, you can claim whatever you want about whatever it is that you do, but I think that's a bad road to go down. I think the best thing to do is just focus on the fundamentals of your craft and to practice it day in and day out. As Mr. Godin says often, ship it, put it out there in the world and let the world decide.
You know, it's funny. Unfortunately, for some, let's talk about Pablo Picasso. His work back in the day was his work, his daily efforts, and it was generations down the road that really deemed it great and valuable. And other artists back in that day, their work is worth millions now. And yep. If it was worth millions then, I guarantee most of them wouldn't have been as depressed as they may have been.
Yeah. Picasso is great. I could talk about Picasso all day long. And that is a good example because he is one of those few that did actually enjoy great success during his lifetime. But he also went the other way with what we're discussing here and called himself great, I think, from an early age. However, there are examples of where it does work. And he was striving for something beyond what I think most people strive for. But those cases are so rare, very, very few could ever get away with what he got away with.
So one of the problems I think we have is that we focus too much on the audience and the user, And it really taints and distorts, you know, why we do what we do. If it's not a passion project and it becomes an audience project, then it becomes work. And for me, I don't like to design and do things creatively where I feel like the heat to do something successful or the heat to do something that might sell. And if I do, those are the ones that usually fall flat anyhow. I love the idea of creating to create. I even tweeted a couple nights ago just saying, I just want to create to create. And those are the types of works that typically are the ones that are, you know, end up more successful. So Pamela, also from our company, said something to me the other day in a call that we had, which made a ton of sense. We focus too much on pushing ourselves on others and should focus more on pulling them in.
That is interesting. You are an example, though, of someone, we talked about this a few days ago, of, you know, take the WordPress premium theme market, which you pioneered. I don't know, because I wasn't there, I didn't know you at the time, you were in a position where I bet there was a lot of fun and a lot of freedom in that, at least in the beginning stages, but you also had an idea that there would be or likely was a market for premium themes. So it was kind of a perfect combination of the two things. And then, you know, it went crazy and gets out of hand and it becomes, you know, more work than maybe you anticipated, of course, you know, later on. But in the beginning, I would bet that you had the audience in mind for that. Would you agree with that or disagree?
Yeah, you know, it was a supply and demand situation. Clearly, I realized there was a huge demand for something, and so I had to supply it. But back then, I was working a day job, and so at the very beginning of the premium WordPress theme deal, it was still a passion for me because I didn't need to put food on the table with it. It just turned out that I was so passionate about it that it obviously transpired over to the users. And when things are new, shiny new toy syndrome, it was all about creating and doing whatever anybody wanted. And I was learning so much back then. I think to myself, I overanalyze the market and I try to find holes where they're not. And it's a different situation than back. I was young and dumb. I didn't know what I was doing back then.
I think Bono had a great quote. This was years ago. He said, when you're 16, you think you can take over the world. And sometimes you're right. Like sometimes in that ignorance, you can, you know, create amazing things that, you know, sets the world on fire or sets a market on fire in the context of what we're talking about here.
So that reminds me a lot of Chrissy Wellington. I'm an endurance person. I run a lot. And Chrissy Wellington is a triathlete. And a few years ago, she was interviewed during her first Ironman World Championship down in Kona, Hawaii. And she was asked, you know, Chrissy, how do you think you're going to do? And she's like, I have no idea. I've not done this before.
Well, let me say this. Back to the idea of, you know, creating for an audience. Last week we touched on it. You can create and build things without thinking about an audience or thinking about a market all you want. I think, you know, that's a good thing to do. You know, projects for yourself, passion projects, as you put it. But again, in the context of business, that is tough. If you want to go that route, very few, a tiny percentage of those who are doing quote unquote passion projects can make a business out of it. What we kind of go back to over and over though is don't count on it. You know, if you want to make something into a potential business, you have to consider the market and the audience there and move towards them as much and serve them as much as possible with what you're doing. You know, the magic happens though in an overlap where something like you using your design skills, you know, back in the day, you were able to be a designer, you were able to be this theme developer, but it also overlapped with, like you said, there was a ravenous market for these premium themes at the time that you largely created.
All right. So this week on No Sidebar, the newsletter, Allison wrote something that really just kind of goes along with everything we've been talking about. She says, what's stopping incredibly smart, creative people from becoming as successful as they hope to be and can be is their own mindset. Again, Ruthie Lindsay says this, and I've quoted her before many times. All of us are longing for connection and authenticity, and what we believe will repel people does the exact opposite. So the response I got last week from the show was so incredibly encouraging, and it made me realize George Costanza got it right. You remember that Seinfeld episode where he said he was going to just go and do the opposite of everything he would want to do?
Right.
Sometimes I think I should do that. If I want to create something that's simple, go create something that's complex. If I want to succeed and do it, you know, with a script, maybe I should drop it and go scriptless, because, you know, it's so counterintuitive to think some of the things that we do will be successful when it comes to results, or our audience will receive it the way we don't expect them to. And it, you know, it makes me think about something Allie and I talked about a couple of weeks ago about our online personas and just how we want others to perceive us. And we spend so much time and energy trying to present ourselves a certain way. And like I said last week, I think sometimes people look at us and they say, dude, you're wearing a toupee. I can clearly see that. Just go natural. Do the Bruce Willis thing.
Yeah, I need to make a correction, a follow-up with that, by the way. That anecdote, the Bruce Willis hair restoration anecdote, was John Gruber was talking about comparing it to design, and actually to fit even better into this No Sidebar podcast of yours. He was talking about when a designer is hired. You know, he's a very minimalist aesthetic himself at Daring Fireball. But when a designer is hired and the price is agreed upon, the client will many times say, well, I'm going to get a lot of design for this price, right? Like, I'm paying you. I want that much design. That's really not always and rarely the best choice. Like, you let the designer do their job based on what the client's needs are, of course. So it really is the Bruce Willis school of web design. So forgive my misquote of that last week, but you're right. And I actually would love to ask you a couple of questions about No Sidebar specifically. Full disclosure, you and I had a conversation a couple of days ago that was really interesting. If it's okay with you, but before that, what was your idea? What were you thinking when you first, you know, we talked about this early on, I think it was in the first episode of The Why, but as a little bit of a primer for what we'll be moving into possibly in the next couple of months.
So for me, as I've discussed a couple of times, the whole No Sidebar thing came about, you know, as I was designing, and naturally for me, I was incorporating kind of a more minimalist and simplistic approach to design. And you and Brian had done a podcast about content curation, which I was learning a lot from at the time. And he was talking about his landing page, and he was talking about how he wasn't going to have a sidebar on there, and then it stuck. I'm like, okay, so No Sidebar as a whole, I think, was a good ideology. In other words, to me, it was sort of similar to the whole chicken soup for the soul, right, where it was a way of doing life. And so I knew it was going to be something that was more than just a podcast or more than just a website. And so it made sense for me to make No Sidebar into a conglomeration of effort, which was the podcast, the site, the Facebook page, things like that. I really wanted to make it a movement and have it be a personal project, but one that made sense for the company.
Yeah, no, this is really interesting because you are in a position where you really need to align with the goals, the larger goals of the company and the larger goals in terms of the podcast anyway, of the network. Like we talked a few days ago offline, you're really starting to think about that and think about the next kind of evolution of No Sidebar as a whole. So what are some of those things that have come to you in terms of what may be coming shortly for No Sidebar?
You know, I really wish we could have recorded that call, because there was a lot of epiphanies that came for me. So I came to you because I wasn't sure of the direction of the current No Sidebar movement, because yeah, I felt like it was off track a little bit. And as you just alluded to, I really wanted to make it line up and sync with the long-term goals of the company, but also have it be applicable and make sense for me to do. It would just feel more natural for me to, you know, reconsider not so much the movement, but just, I think one thing we talked about was the show description and how I felt like it was a little bit off of where I want to take this. And as I talked a little bit earlier, there's three things that I really do right now within the company. It's I write, I design, and I podcast. And as a creative person, I think those three are the mediums in which 95% of online anything is going down. And so I want to speak to my audience, which is those three types of people. And so, you know, as we move forward, I'm going to do a little bit of a shift with the branding of No Sidebar, with the direction of the podcast. It's not going to be far from where we're at now. It's just going to be a lot more focused and intentional.
Will part of this be maybe allowing me to drop an episode of Allegorical into your RSS feed every once in a while?
Yes, because I still need that creative inspiration.
I don't think your listeners do, though. No, this is cool. This is cool. And it in a lot of ways, it's kind of a radical shift. I'm looking forward to the branding aspect, seeing the branding aspect of it change. But it's a bit of a radical shift from what you've been doing, but the larger picture is the same, you know, as you said. What kinds of things are you thinking in terms of timing?
You know, so next week I have a call with my friends at Focus Lab. We're going to be working together on their rebranding. We're not talking about something completely radically different. But what I want to do, though, is, and I continue to use the quote-unquote word mainstream for whatever reason. In my mind, that sort of this visual of what I get. 99U is a perfect example of the type of look I want to move towards. But what I'd love to do, and I've always, and I told you this the other day, that I have this passion to even develop community in the sense of content. And what that may look like is that nosidebar.com, what it is now, which is just the weekly newsletter, I might add more content to that, maybe daily content, very specific, shorter articles that aren't quote-unquote the feature, but will address specifically to podcasters and writers and designers and really just try to grow the audience with more content. And so it's a big strategy thing that I have going on in my head, but it was really great to have that call with you because what that does is it allows me to go into the branding and the design call next week with Focus Lab and say, this is what I'm all about and where I want to go.
I think I've got my own ideas about what the lesson, you know, the kind of takeaway for listeners would be. One interesting aspect of this, I'll ask you what your take is. You can't be, not only can you, should you not be afraid of evolving whatever it is you're doing in this whole media content landscape, because you learn things as you go, because you get feedback from your audience, because your audience grows and shifts and changes. Because of that, your goals shift and change over time. You really can't be afraid to make, and in some cases like this, big changes. What do you think would be a really great takeaway for your listeners in relation to all of this that you're thinking and planning and executing?
Well, I think really what it comes down to is the new school or the new age line of thinking as an entrepreneur. So many of us, I think, have this tendency to stay safe, to stay conservative, to stick to the plan. We live in such an agile era right now where things shift and change all the time. And if you don't follow those, you get left behind because you're the one that's, you know, stuck in the old way of doing things. And podcasting is a perfect example. I talked last week or the week before just about how much it's evolving the online space, the entrepreneurial space, and how everyone's going to have one. And now is the time to jump on. And what's really great about that is that we have a course coming up called The Showrunner for podcasters, teaching them how to get started and things to think about. So to just identify opportunities to try new stuff and to do something that your audience may not expect.
Anybody interested in that, you can go to showrunner.fm and sign up for the email list. No charge with that, but FYI.
So we had discussed talking about No Sidebar, the podcast, and changing, you know, the description. And I still owe you an email to where I'm going to rewrite that so that you can rewrite it for me. But the gist of it is that I want to discuss the struggles of a creative entrepreneur. We are both creative people. And the three folks that I'm going to be kind of addressing and being very specific about are writers, designers, and podcasters. And that should come naturally for me because I have experience and I'm learning and growing in all three of them. And I still intend on bringing that authentic unfilteredness to all of this. So don't think that we're going to kind of go back to college, university level information. This is all still coming straight from the heart. It's just a shift a little bit in where it's been and where I want it to go. Because I still believe in authenticity. That's something I really want to embrace as a creative person, but also as a person who really wants to touch the audience.
Sounds good to me, man. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
So in all seriousness, Robert, it's been really great to have you on the show. You really have helped shape the podcast and somewhat of the No Sidebar movement just by all of the feedback you've given to me. I mean, we spent 57 minutes the other day on the phone, just me coming to you talking about concerns and asking for ideas and suggestions. And so I'm very excited and I'm really glad that we got to that point where I was like, here is a clear vision of where I want to take this. And I'm very excited about talking to Focus Lab next week and really taking No Sidebar to the next level because it's something I'm very passionate about. It's something that I'm really looking forward to just doing and growing and so that it can reach more people.
I'm really looking forward to what's coming. You know, for folks listening, really watch what's kind of going on here over the next few weeks and months because this is similarly, it happened with New Rainmaker as well. This kind of evolution over time based on listening, based on finding out what it is you really want to do. And it's happening in real time in public. So anyway, I hope listeners get something out of that as well. But I am looking forward to this design. You owe me a new description.
I do.
For the show. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And as always, man, thanks for having me on.
Well, it was definitely my pleasure. And that's the end of today's show. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're hearing on the No Sidebar podcast, the best way to support the show is to leave a rating and or a comment over on iTunes. Want more? Check out nosidebar.com and sign up for our newsletter. Each week, we curate the very best and most interesting articles when it comes to designing a simple life, at work, at home, and in the soul. And now, I've got a very special treat for those of you who stuck around to hear what's next. Normally, you hear the outro bumper music for the show, but I wanted to do something different. There was a lot more to the call that Robert and I recorded, and it wasn't supposed to be part of the show, but it was very interesting, he and I just talking about and debriefing the call we had and the things that we go through in life. So I'm cutting back into our conversation for you to hear. Consider this the secret extended version of the show, like a pirated copy that you can only obtain illegally.
The power of focus and the power of focusing on one thing, even if it gets boring and old and dumb in your own mind. I don't know, man. I wish I could have gone back to 20 years old and told myself that, or could tell my 20-year-old self that, because as opposed to bouncing around and I don't know, there's some wisdom in trying things out, especially when you're younger, but it's hard to beat that boredom. It's hard to beat the idea of coming back to the same thing day after day, but I think that's the way to do it.
Didn't Seth Godin have a post or a comment or a session about like the creative dip where we get to that point where it's no longer fun, the shiny new toy syndrome is off, and you kind of get bored, and it's also what I call like the runner's wall, right, where you need to break through, or the blogger's wall when I was asked back in the day, you know, how do bloggers become successful? And it's always if they persevere through that time where it's not fun. And I've had a few, none of them have been profoundly deep already here with No Sidebar, especially the podcast. I've had a few moments like that where I've been like, this isn't working, I'm done. Yeah, and each time I had one of those or was heading down that direction is when I would call you and say, hey, look, I need to get on track or this train's derailing.
Yeah, it's in my opinion, his best book. It's called The Dip, and it's tiny, but I would recommend anybody who asks to go read that book. But that's exactly the premise is you're excited, you start a new project, everything's moving forward, it's cool, it's new, it's interesting, and then you get to that point where, and it's in different places, for different projects, but you get to that point where it's not so new anymore and the growth has kind of plateaued and now you have to get down to the real work of not only the craft and the marketing of it, but just the daily grind. Not many of us, I don't know if naturally if we're built for that kind of daily grind. We're always looking, especially in this age, for the new thing. Again, the older I get, the more convinced I am that consistency and focus are pretty much the key to getting anything done that you want to do.
You know, I agree, and I want to really pay attention to that. So I think I'm in a position with those who follow me I think I have a responsibility to demonstrate that, right? The demonstration of working through the dip or the wall, because I think sometimes I influence others as I go back and forth and start new sites and projects. I honestly think there are some people out there who kind of imitate that behavior. Because maybe they don't know any better or because that's just how they think it should be done. And so I really want to embrace that. And that's a lot of what No Sidebar, this new movement is the non-abandonment of the project, but just the shift, as we've just discussed, the importance of being agile and identifying where things need to change. And I really want people to know and believe that I'm in it for the long haul.
Nice.
And this
I like
is
it.
No Sidebar after hour.
right.
Maybe that'll be a new thing at the end of the show. Like, okay, we're done. And be like, no, we're really not done. We got a little bit more for you.
That's like, right. Come back like, after the bumper.
Yes, the Easter egg, you know. Like, you know those songs, you listen to albums and it's like 30 seconds and nothing and then they come back and that.
That's right.
I don't know what that's called in music, but I should start doing that for the show.
Totally. Just a little extra something.
No Sidebar After Dark.
Hey, if you're still listening, this is Robert Bruce. And Brian did not let me talk about my show this time. So I just wanted to let you know that you can find my show at allegorical.fm. That's allegorical.fm. FM. See ya.